Walter Schaub made a lot of noise when he quit as director of the Office of Government Ethics. This came after a loud and running feud with the Trump administration. Grandstanding nanny or conscience of the government? For analysis, we turn to Scott Amey, general counsel at the Project on Government Oversight. Scott, good to have you back.
Good morning.
So is Walter Schaub a grandstanding nanny or the conscience of the government or somewhere in between?
Oh, I think he was the conscience of the government. I mean, I think he was felt like he was kind of pushed into a corner. I mean, the Office of Government Ethics has been around since the late 1970s, and it's kind of played a quiet role in ensuring that there aren't any ethics or conflicts of interest problems for government officials. And, you know, they strive to prevent conflicts of interest, to resolve them when conflicts of interest do present themselves. And I think this is the first time in numerous administrations that someone inside of OGE had somebody come into the White House that didn't seem accepting of the system and kind of pushed back on OGE and where OGE, you know, wanted to try to protect the taxpayers. And so, yeah, I think he was kind of backed in a corner. But I do think overall his intent was to try to ensure that the government is operating in that members of the administration were going to be serving the public trust and that they didn't have any conflicts of interest, especially financial conflicts of interest. And obviously there were a lot of people, both President-elect Trump and people that were going into the White House and in the cabinet that did have conflicts of interest that Mr. Schaub and people at OGE were very concerned with.
OGE is not an enforcement agency. It's not any kind of real power. It's an advisory to the White House. Do you think that, given the fact that it is merely advisory, that the instant tweet storm and so forth and the public, I don't know, admonishments was the most effective way of going about influencing the people that were coming into the administration?
Probably not. I think if you ask Mr. Schaub, he would probably, if he had things to do over again, he may take back the Twitter feud that he was kind of had with President-elect Trump back in late November. I think he's even come out and said that OGE wasn't being consulted on certain issues, and he was doing his best to encourage President-elect Trump to divest and to avoid any conflicts of interest. And the writing was kind of on the wall that wasn't the way that President-elect Trump was going. And so, at the end of the day, I mean, OGE does have certain powers to order corrective actions, which generally involves divestitures, recusals, setting up blind trusts. And so where it is really lacking, I think, is in being able to order appropriate disciplinary action. Currently, it can only make a recommendation. And in certain instances, if agencies don't act, the recommendation can be made to the President of the United States. And so I would predict that Mr. Schaub and the people at OGE realized that they were in a very interesting predicament because they would be, in essence, making certain recommendations to the White House for things involving people inside of the White House, including the president himself. And so I think that's where Mr. Schaub kind of decided, well, President-elect Trump likes Twitter, is reading Twitter, and so maybe I can reach out to him and, you know, convince him or encourage him to take certain actions if I reach out to him on Twitter. But probably seems now in hindsight to, you know, kind of has set up a political feud, and that's never, as an independent agency, that's never where Mr. Schaub has been in the past or anybody at OGE. And, it did create some problems, I think.
Yeah, because the impression is that he just doesn't like Donald Trump or doesn't like his politics. And really, that should not, I would think, be part of the considerations of an OGE head or anybody else in a similar position.
Certainly. And I think when it comes to government ethics, and I think Mr. Schaub has even said this in the past, ethics has no party. And I think that's true. I mean, what you're trying to do is there are certain obligations to public service, and that's serving the public trust, not having conflicts of interest, not having dueling financial interests, not having two paymasters, being honest, acting impartially. And I think OGE has always held up those standards and pushed others inside of the government to hold up those standards. And to tell you the truth, I think Mr. Schaub reached a point where he was very upset that ethics needs to start from the top, and by President Trump just coming out right off the bat saying, none of the ethics laws apply to me, I can do whatever I want to. Mr. Schaub was upset with that, I believe, due to the fact that it really sent the wrong message to a lot of other public servants, people in the military that make sacrifices for the federal government, to a lot of other appointees that did have to divest themselves from a lot of business entanglements and financial circumstances. And so OGE and Mr. Schaub were doing its best to try to encourage President-elect Trump to lead from the top and say, you know what, these don't apply to me, but I'm going to follow them anyway. And that's one thing that I will say was consistent with Mr. Schaub. I mean, he put out a proposed rule back in, I believe, 2015, and it became final in 2016. So it was well before anything was happening, and we had a winner in the election last year. And he put out a rule that specifically got to gift-giving and acceptance by government employees. And the rule was, even if it's permissible, here are things that you should consider in making that decision. And he called it like a values-based standard and said, even if it's legal for you to accept these gifts, you may want to consider these value-based standards before you accept anything, because it's okay to still not accept those gifts. And so, you know, I think that was always an underlying premise with OGE Director Walter Schaub, and I don't think that changed, and it was political when he kind of got into his feud with the White House and with President-elect Trump.
We're speaking with Scott Amey, General Counsel at the Project on Government Oversight. And we'll leave that one for a moment, because I think it's sort of irresolvable or resolved itself by Mr. Schaub's resignation. We'll have to see what happens on the ethics front in the White House. But a couple of other items that have been high on POGO's list lately, and that is legislation that would make Congressional Research Service reports publicly accessible. That would really be a major development, wouldn't it?
Certainly. Yeah, it is something that we at the Project on Government Oversight have pushed for years, probably over a decade now. Is the Congressional Research Service is an investigative arm over at Congress. And so they put out reports nearly every day. Members can ask them to report on a specific issue, a specific law, existing laws, how things will be handled. And these CRS reports are a wealth of knowledge. They're really kind of a Wikipedia, or I'll date myself, but an encyclopedia of information. And so we've been pushing for years to have CRS reports publicly available. There's been few people in Congress that have decided that wasn't always in the best interest, because they wanted to get insights and information that was unrestricted, and they felt like making those reports could cause people to not put certain information into them. And so finally, there's been a few bills have been floated around in previous years, but it seems as if there's a really good chance this year that there's some report language in there that says that we should make CRS reports finally publicly available. And so we're applauding that move.
And the other question I had for you is on the general front of whistleblowers. There have been a couple of whistleblower pieces of legislation passed in the last couple of years and enacted. There's a couple floating around in Congress now. I just wanted to get your sense of what is the temperature right now for the whistleblower environment. Are things looking good for whistleblowers, or is it getting sliding away again?
Well, boy, that's a really good question. It's almost like, you know, one or two steps forward and then one or two steps backwards. I mean, you're absolutely correct. In the past few years, we've had some provisions that have been passed to protect contractor whistleblowers, to add protections and enhancements for government employees that are stepping forward to blow the whistle. But then at the same time, we also have insider threat programs that are being bolstered up and getting running, not only for government agencies, but also contractor workforces. And so at that point, you know, there's a real divide. Obviously, you want to, you know, find people that may be, you know, illegally leaking information or releasing classified information improperly. But at the same time, there is a risk that, are you going to go after people that are blowing the whistle? And it's just, you know, sometimes insider threat investigations are just a pretext to get rid of somebody that is trying to really blow the whistle on waste, fraud, and abuse inside of a government agency. So we've seen some efforts to step forward. It seems like it is getting traction. Even in this Congress, you know, we're still fighting for protections for whistleblowers in the intelligence community and certain protections for contractor whistleblowers. And so we'll have to see kind of where it all flushes out. But you know, it seems that, and it's unfortunate, we lost Chairman Chaffetz, who just resigned from the House of Representatives, and he was the head of House Oversight and Government Reform, and he and his colleagues on that committee were big proponents for whistleblower protections, as well as a lot of people, Senator Grassley, Senator McCaskill on the Senate. And so at that point, we'll have to see kind of where things move and what ends up coming out of the legislative sausage grinder here at the end of the, you know, as we go through this term.
I guess that's kind of one of the ironies of whistleblowers, is that tough as it still is for a whistleblower, and let's face it, it still takes courage to be a whistleblower, both Republicans and Democrats' support of whistleblowers may be for different reasons, but they come to the same conclusion, and yet it still remains tough.
It remains tough. I mean, it hasn't been an easy battle, and there's been whistleblower protection law bills that have been proposed for years, and they don't get much traction. I think sometimes it does help that you need, you know, some kind of scandal, or you need some names and faces with, you know, here or instances of good whistleblowing. I think most of the time, you know, even in people hearing this, they may think of, you know, the Bradley Mannings, they may think of the Edward Snowdens, and so and some of the other things now that are being, you know, thrown around with different terms as far as leakers, you know, and different people that are releasing classified information. And so it's, you know, it's a very fine line on where you kind of fall on those different instances and what the public policy benefits are. I mean, in essence, you know, most people blow the whistle because they're trying to prevent waste, fraud, or abuse. They're trying to save money. They see inefficiencies. And so they're the type of people that we want to make sure that we protect, and they have the strongest laws that back them in releasing that type of information to members of Congress, to the IG community, the law enforcement, and maybe even in certain instances, even you know, to the media to initiate reforms that can fix broken systems. And we need systems that will protect those whistleblowers.
Scott Amey is general counsel at the Project on Government Oversight. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.